I haven't sung. That's the right way to say it. I haven't sung like that in a long time. And so my voice is a little shot. Man, it's so good to see all of you here. We have new guests in the house. Let's welcome them. We're glad you're here all across the room. God bless you guys for being a part of our service. Can we go ahead and welcome our online church, which is pretty big this morning? We got a lot of folks traveling and a lot of folks at home that aren't feeling well and just a lot of that kind of stuff happening. And my bride is at home today, not feeling well. And we spent two shifts of work almost at the ER the other night and 12 hours. It was a marathon. And she said, unless I'm at death's door, we will not do that again, you know, kind of thing. So, man, I'm just so glad that you guys are here. And we're praying for you guys, all of you who are out there sick and folks that are traveling. We want you to know we are honestly, literally every day praying about this. And can I just get a honoring round of acceptance and love for our prayer team? Come on, y'all. We love our prayer team here. I've never seen things change so quickly at a church when we started praying hard, and it's just been amazing to watch God work. I'm here today to introduce our speaker today. So if you're a guest with us, you are going to get a treat today. She is an amazing person. She that's her husband doing that. She's my daughter in love, Miss Emily. And I just love her so much. I want to tell you, there's a lot of good stuff I could say about Emily. She's a wonderful mom. She's a great wife, and she has to deal with my son, so God bless her for that. But I want to tell you, the greatest thing I can think of to say about Emily is, and by the way, she has great parents. One of them's here today. Her dad pastors at Round Island. I'm sure, is he preaching this morning? He's preaching this morning. Her grandparents are here today, some of them. And it's just wonderful. But the greatest thing I can say about Emily is this. She loves Jesus like with all that's inside of her. And she writes about him. She talks about him. She lives for him. And today she is going to bring the first message of this 5-message series that we're doing called The Attributes of God. How many of y'all know we have an awesome God? Well, is she going to come up and talk about that? Y'all, come on. Y'all honor her. Welcome her as she comes. Come on now. Come on, girl.
There you go.
Thank y'all. I'm going to be honest. I'm a little nervous. It's a big thing. It's one thing to speak at, like, Freedom Conference when there's still a big crowd, but only a few of us. And I do have a good support system here, and I do want to say hello to the online because one of my sisters was supposed to come today, and she's not feeling well, so she's watching online, but we miss everyone that's not here. We know Rebecca Howison is not here this morning, and we miss them. They're traveling. Yeah. Keith, no. So, no, we are so thankful for all you guests, and I probably won't look over there too much because I might cry, but I am just so thankful for the support system that I have, but also, like my Nana said, she was like, Emily, you're just surrounded by so many people that love you, and Brandon and I love Discovery Church. It is our home away from home. I feel like we're here as much as we are at home, and each person in this room matters so much to me. And so whether I know you personally or I'm getting to know you, we are so thankful that you are a part of this church. And so before I even get started, I do want to thank God because today is the last day of 2023, and that is just crazy to me. It flew by, but it was also really slow at times. But this year, God did so much in our church, in our the prayer team, as Keith said, has just, I feel like, been exactly what we needed to pray over ministries, to pray over people personally. And going off that, the other ministries, our small group last semester was amazing. We had so many groups. Freedom was huge. God has just done so much in our small groups. And then the building that we are in. I every time I walk in here, I just think of how much work was put in here, but how much prayer was brought into this building, because there was so much that happened, but honestly, it was God. Like, the everything that happened here, you can only credit it to God that it was done. Even as Sam, like my husband was here, there were tons of Robbie's guys were here getting the electric work, but if we didn't have the prayers going, it wouldn't have been done. And so I'm just so thankful to God on what he's done in this building and what he will continue to do. And so if you don't know me, I am Emily. I serve as the youth pastor here with Brandon. We have the teens who are, yeah, y'all are supposed to cheer right now. yeah, all of our teens, yeah. We get to hang out with the teens. And honestly, I know most of y'all are scared of teenagers, but we have the best teens ever. They serve, they lead, they worship. All you have to do is sit and watch them for a moment, and you will be convicted on your personal life. So we love that. I get to lead small group. I get to partner with Keith and Tabitha as we plan out sermon series. And that's where we come to today. As we were planning out sermon series, they were like, what should we do? And I said, we've got to do the attributes of God. We have to. Because last semester, I led a small group with Casey on the attributes of God. And when I say my hunger for the Lord has never been as it was this semester, I can't express that enough, because we have to do more than know about God. We have to know him truly, and the only way you can do that is when you learn about him, when you commune with him, when you study your Bible, when you partner with other people. And so we're going to discuss the attributes of God, and there are so many, we won't go over them all, but this sermon series, my prayer is that it will put a hunger into your heart. As we end 2023, the best way to start 2024 is on fire for God in all that he is. We know Jesus, right? We get the four gospels, and I feel like, especially if you've been in church, you know a lot about Jesus. And I know with what's happening in Discovery right now, the Holy Spirit is so present. I believe the Holy Spirit is really present in this earth if you watch what all is going on. I know that there's bad, but there's also so much revival going on. If you just stop and don't look at all the bad news but the good news, there's a lot of revival. So we know the Holy Spirit really well. We know Jesus well. But how well do we know God? Because I'm going to be honest, I was raised in church. My parents, they taught me so much, and I'm so thankful for the foundation they laid in my life. But I think a lot of times we say, like, God is our Father, or we look at God as a just God in the Bible. We look at, you know, the Old Testament. We sometimes get scared, and we say he's our Father. But do we go a step further into knowing him? And sometimes his holiness makes us feel like we can't. But that's why God let the curtain, the veil, be torn, so we can go a step further and know him. And that's my prayer for you, is that as we do this, it will kickstart 2024 for you to learn who God is as your Father. Because an attribute is a quality or feature regarded as a characteristic, or, yeah, it's on the screen, or inherent part of someone or something. And so, for example, Brandon, my husband, he's sitting right there. He's got a new outfit on. He looks nice. He's tall and handsome. He's really good at math. I am not at all. I'm not going to say that, but he really helped me with math. He's very sarcastic. Thank you, Keith Davis. And he has a very big servant's heart. And those are all attributes of Brandon. And some of those you might know. If you just walk in this building, maybe you've never met Brandon before, you'll see he's a tall and handsome guy. Okay, he dresses nice when he lets me dress him. And you might know that he's funny. If you talk to him, you can see he's welcoming. But do you have to have a relationship with Brandon to truly know that he is good at math, or to know that he really does have feelings. I know he likes to act like he doesn't have feelings, but he really does care about people. Sorry, Brandon. He didn't know. I haven't even gone over this with Brandon, so he has no idea what I'm going to say. But you would know that he values his dad and my grandfather and my dad's opinion. Those are all attributes of Brandon. And while some things you might know just seeing him at first, if you truly have a conversation with him, if you truly take the time to spend with him, have conversations on the phone, go out to lunch, that's where you will know the true attributes of Brandon and who he is at his core. And that's what we have to do with God. Because if we don't know who God is, we're going to miss so much that God is doing. And just an example for that, I was so nervous last night. I texted some of my girls and I said, I'm so nervous. I'm real, and with Keith saying what he did earlier, but I said, I'm worried that I don't, what if I don't walk the walk? What if I just talk the talk? I was like, you know, I don't know if that's the enemy or if I'm feeling conviction. I was like, I know I can always do better, but what if I'm really struggling with this? And they were all really encouraging, and it was great. And I continued praying about it last night because I feel like all of us as Christians, you know, struggle with that. Are we truly walking the walk? And this morning, Tabitha texted me, and she said, hey, I'm not going to be in there this morning. I have to teach. Carly Ann was supposed to, but she said she wanted to listen to you instead, and you have that much influence. And I know that's so, like, I'm not saying that to pat me on the back. I'm saying that God literally heard my prayer last night that I needed to know that I'm doing something right. And he let my sister-in-law and niece speak that into me this morning. And if I didn't know God's character, that he is sovereign, that he is good, that he is loving, then I would miss that moment of just, oh, Carly Ann just wants to see, like, wants to be in there this morning. When instead, God has small divine appointments for you everywhere you go. You just often miss it because you don't even know who God is. And so, A.W. Tozer says, what comes to our mind when we think about God is the most important thing about us. And that's kind of scary. Especially when I heard it the first time, because I was like, oh, first of all, is what I think of God only beneficial to me? Or do I think God's bad because of everything that's happened in my mind? Or do I only think, you know, I can encounter Jesus when it comes to, oh, sweet, hey, Jesus, like, I want to talk to you. Oh, Holy Spirit, I want to feel you moving in my life. But do I only come to God when I'm like, oh, God, I messed up and I know you're mad at me? Or, oh, God, do you remember this sin I did like 5 years ago that you don't even remember? Do you remember that? Because I messed up again. When am I approaching God? And for me, that was such a conviction of I want what comes to mind about God is I want him to be my everything. And the only way he can be my everything is if I know who he is. And God, let me go ahead and tell y'all, God is mysterious. We won't know everything about him, but he is still knowable. He lets us know him. And if you're a Christian, which means you're a follower of Christ, then you should know God, right? You should know about him. You come to church, you hear the things. And I might go deeper to say you do know him very well. You're especially if you're older in the faith, you've lived years, you've had trials and temptations, you may know God. And the thing I want y'all to get today is it's one thing to know about God, but it's one thing to know him. And that is the whole importance of this series, is that we need to know who God is. Because even as I said, there's good in the world, there is bad. So how are you going to fight the bad if you don't even know what you're fighting with? If you have scripture, but you can't back it up with truly who God is in your life. And so I wanted to share some of these attributes with you, and we won't cover all of them in this sermon series, but there are two types of attributes, and they're in your notes. It's the incommunicable, which means attributes only God can possess. And these attributes, you'll know them. They're all church words. Montana said that yesterday to me. She was like, you know, Emily, all these words we know. They're the church words. They're the big words. But do we actually know why they are in the church? Do we know why they describe God? So eternal is one, infinite, immutable, self-existent, self-sufficient, omnipresent, omniscient, omnipotent, sovereign, incomprehensible, and transcendent. Those are all attributes that only God can possess. And then there's the communicable, attributes that both God and us can have, yet we will never have them as well as God. We will never perfect them. It's holy. The Bible says, because he is holy, we can be holy. Good, just, merciful, jealous, which, again, we're not going to go in depth on all these, but just and jealous, they're tough ones to understand how our God can be, but there is goodness within it. He's wise, he's loving, truthful, wrathful, and that's where a lot of us get caught up in the Old Testament of his wrath. But he's also gracious, he's patient, and he's faithful. And so my prayer through this sermon series, through just a little snippet of looking at, is that this will light a fire in you. And as much as I want to make the decision for you, we say this in Freedom Conference, as much as I want to say, like, yes, each of you go home and do this, you have to make the choice to dive deeper into this. Because we can't study all these attributes unless y'all want to spend the whole year doing it. And you might. You might want to tell Keith, we're going to just ditch all the other sermon series and do this. But this is where you have to have that one-on-one connection with God, where you have to go a step deeper and study these words. And I can help you. Keith can help you. If you're like, I want to study this, but I don't know where to start, you're not alone. Brianna, where were we at the beginning of the semester? We were like, we don't even know what we're about to do in here. We walked into there. Casey was like, oh, we got this. This is about to be great. Because y'all know Casey. She's so encouraging. They were like, this is going to be great. And we were like, yeah, we're just going to study who God is. Like, we'll see what happens. This will be a good semester. And man, were we rocked. I mean, we were like, this is an actual, like, this is who God is, and I've been in the faith for this long, and I've missed it. And I don't want us to miss it anymore, guys. I want us in 2024 to know God as our Father and everything that he is. And Proverbs 8:17 says, I love all who love me, and those who search me will surely find me. We just have to take the step to search, and he's waiting. We won't get it all at first, but it will. He's ready. He's ready for us to look. And Jeremiah, I think I had a typo for this. It's Jeremiah 29, 12 through 13. It might not be up there. It says, then you call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. A lot of us know Jeremiah 29, 11, but do you know 29 or 12 and 13 where it does say you just have to seek God? And he will find you. Seek him with all of your heart. And guys, that is my prayer, is that with everything in me, let everything that I am be totally in tune to God, so it will flow from me as I seek him. So we must seek him as we study his word. The Bible shows us over and over who he is, not just by word and action. We have to study the word, because then when we study the Bible and see what he's doing in that, when God does move in your life, you will see that it truly is God. So as we move into that was all my intro, so hope y'all are ready. But as we move into our first attribute, we're going to learn how God is sovereign. All of the attributes that I will share with you today are the incommunicable. So, it is one of those where we can't do anything to get here, but it's so important to know these as the foundation so we are able to kickstart a new part of our walk with Christ to know who, or God, to know who he is truly. In Revelation 4:11, it says, you are worthy, O Lord our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and they exist because you created what you pleased. So sovereign means that God is in complete control. He has all power and authority to do all things. And that can be scary. We don't understand that, right? That's why these are incommunicable, because they don't truly make sense. And that's where he's mysterious, but that's where we have to be faithful in that. He is in complete control. And if he were not sovereign, if he were not in complete control, then he wouldn't be God. This would all be pointless. Because how can someone be the God of the universe? How can he create all things, know all things, but then not be in complete control? How can he do that and not be God? And a lot of times this might scare us. We might wonder, like, okay, well, if he's complete control, like, that can be scary with all that's going on. But it shouldn't scare us. I know that's easier said than done, but it shouldn't, because there are no depths nor heights that God cannot reach. That means no matter where we go, and I don't mean physically, I mean mentally, no matter where we go, God is still there with us. When things don't go as we hope, we know that he holds it all and has the greatest plan of all. I still, it's been 3 years, I still do not know why my mother-in-law died. I don't get it at all. And sometimes I want to be mad and be like, how are you sovereign? Yet this happened. Because, y'all, Robert thinks he was the favorite, but if she would have met Warren, he'd have been out. No, I'm just kidding. No, but he, like, every time he does something, I still want to send her a picture. And sometimes I get mad. Like, why? Why does my husband not get to spend a Christmas with his mom? I don't get it. But I have the hope of salvation. And that, and we say it all the time. I know y'all might be tired of hearing it, but we're going to keep saying it, because even though she's not here, I know that I get to party with her in heaven. Because if you know me, I have a childlike view of heaven. We're all going to be partying and worshiping. We're all going to be, like, running through wildflower fields. I love wildflower fields. So we're just going to be having a party, and I get to see my mother-in-law again, and my grandmother, and my baby, and all those that went before us. And I get to hang out with the apostles. And that is the hope that we have. And that's how we know he's sovereign, that even when all things go different and wrong, all things don't go the way we planned, we still have salvation as our endpoint. It shows that his great love for us, that even though he has all this power, he has all this might to do whatever he wants, he still allows us to have free will. Even though God is sovereign and he controls everything, he has complete control, he lets us have free will. He lets us have free will to choose him. Because all God wants, all the songs we did, I think Micah chose them. He did great. He is a good, good father. It's who he is. He's perfect in all his ways. We have seen it over and over. But he still chooses to let you see that for yourself. He's not going to look at Jennifer and be like, Jennifer, look at all I did for you. You have to see it right now. No, he's going to let Jennifer go on the process she needs to go on right by her side as she chooses to walk with him. And that is one of the most amazing and mysterious things to me, that even though he is in complete control, he lets me choose him. Caitlin in youth, she always brings it up and laughs because she's like, Emily always says God is a gentleman. And it's true. When I heard that, it totally flipped me upside down, because gentlemen, there's not many in the world anymore, honestly. But to know that God is the perfect gentleman, that he is waiting for me, even when he doesn't have to, he's waiting for little old Emily, that is his true sovereignty. And because he is sovereign, we can see every attribute that's next. And the next one is, he's omnipotent. And some of these words are hard to say, so it's okay if you mess them up. But he is omnipotent. It means he holds all power. There is no limit to his power, and he never needs a break. And all the moms said, I wish, you know? Because it is. He controls this whole universe. He knows each of us. And some of us are hard to deal with, you know? But he still never needs a break from us. In Jeremiah 32:17, it says, O sovereign Lord, you made the heavens and the earth. By your strong hand and powerful arm, nothing is too hard for you. He breathed this entire earth. He spoke it into existence. Yet he still notices each and every one of us. He knows us so much that he knows our desires. He knows that while we might limit his power, he will not allow that. He will move in everything he does. And to go a step further of him being so powerful, he, in Jesus, came to this earth stripping himself of that power. Jesus had the most power, yet he humbled himself. In Philippians 2:5, it says, "You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privilege. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as human beings. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on the cross. Therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest power and gave him the name above all other names, that the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under earth, and every tongue declares that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father." And that right there is omnipotent in one, in, well, not one, multiple verses, that Jesus stripped himself of that power. Stripped himself of time with God, as Micah even said, God turned his back from him to humble himself to walk this earth and die for us to then have the curtain torn and be in communion with him again. That is how powerful he is. And as we move from omnipotent, we go into how he's omniscient, how he knows all things and is never surprised. And this is a big one. I used to, you know, like, well, you probably do it as adults, too, because we do. But, you know, when you're younger, they're like, hey, if you could have any superpower, what would it be? And mine was, I want to read people's minds. And I can't remember who said it, but they were like, Emily, if you get that, your feelings are just going to get hurt all the time because you overthink and people say things, and that's just a terrible idea for you. And so, but seriously, I used to be like, I want to read people's minds so I can truly know what they're thinking in that moment, because if they don't want to hang out with me, like, I don't want to waste my time. But, so we, I mean, like, that is something we desire, though, right? We desire to know all things. We want to know what's coming next, right? We want to know the next battle that's ahead. But then if we do, our hearts could be broken ahead of time, and then we won't even be ready for the battle ahead. See, even though God knows all things, that means that his heart does break most of the time for us. If he knows that we're going to mess up ahead of time, his heart is breaking. If he knows that I'm going to have a bad day and I'm going to turn from him and not read my Bible or not worship, his heart will break for that. Yet he still chooses us. And I'm going to be honest, the more I think about it, the more I don't want to know everything. Sure, sometimes I'm like, okay, God, are you going to answer this prayer? But then if I knew he was, I would miss everything he's doing around me to help me get ready for that answered prayer. So even though he knows all things and they break his heart at times, he still chooses to forgive us. Isaiah 43:25 says, "I, yes, I alone, will blot out your sins for my own sake and will never think of them again." And then in Hebrews 8, it says, "I will forgive their wickedness and I will never again remember their sins." So maybe today you're here, like Micah said, and you're like, if he knows everything, then he truly, how can he love me? And guys, I am an answer to that of he truly does blot out all your mess ups. I lived so long in too much shame. A lot of people in here know my story, that as the preacher's kid that got pregnant her senior year of high school, even after I got married and things were all good, I let that shame stay in me probably until this year, 2023. And that happened 6 years ago. I let that stay with me. When all God was waiting for, he was like, Emily, I know your mess up. but I've forgotten it. I've forgiven it. It's not here anymore. I blot out your sins. And guys, I want you to know that this, I never thought this would happen, ever. It was a dream of mine. This is literally my dream, to just share my heart for Jesus. But I thought I was too messed up. I mean, because I've had a lot of mess ups. If you would have known me as a teenager, my mom's over there, and my grandma and my grandpa, they'll all attest, actually. If y'all would have known, I love Jesus, but I had an attitude problem, real bad. But even God, he uses your mess ups in the past. I'm literally working with teens now, and they made me look like a hellion on it. I don't know if I should say that, but they are like angels. I mean, they really are. They're so great. And I'm like, I tell Avela and Mira and Kaylin and Maddie all the time, I'm like, if I would have had y'all as my friends, and I had great friends, but y'all would have whooped me into shape. Like, they don't put up with it. They're like, no, Jesus is doing this in my life, and I'm going to say it. And that's what I need now as a grown-up. I need their encouragement to know that God does blot out every one of my sins, that he doesn't think of that, and he's just ready to use my testimony to help others and share with others. And so moving into the last attribute we're going to share today, that he's sovereign, he's omnipotent, he's omniscient. The last one is he's omnipresent. In Psalm 139, 7 through 10, this should be encouragement to us. It says, I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. If I go up to heaven, you are there. If I go down to the grave, you are there. If I ride the wings of the morning, if I dwell by the farthest oceans, even your hand will guide me and your strength will support me. Mo and I love this song right now. It's called, and I share this at Freedom Conference, it's called In the Room. And it says, like, no matter where I go, he's in the room. It says, if I'm in the depths of the lion's den like Daniel was, he's there. If I'm slaying a giant, he is there. And it's just that affirmation of, even though it feels scary at times, if God's everywhere, he sees the sin that I'm doing right now. But guys, that's how much he loves you. That if he sees your sin, I mean, how hard is it as a parent to see your kid hit the other kid? You just want to leave the room and be like, they don't exist, you know, like they're not doing anything. I can't do it anymore. I'm going to go hide in my closet. I can't. Montana and I have a running joke that we go hide in our closets a lot. Yeah, it's not a joke. But anyways, but I mean, I see Mo and sometimes she's great, but sometimes she'll just like do something with Warren. She knocked him out the other day and I was like, I looked at Brandon, I was like, I just can't. I literally can't. And I just left. And I just left the room. But God doesn't. And I know that's so silly, but like, how often do you tell a little white lie? Or how often do you think it? Or think, oh, I don't like what they're doing today. Oh, judgment right in my head. Yet he still never leaves. And he convicts, but he doesn't condemn. He is God with us. Emmanuel, God with us. He is at all places at once because he intentionally loves and pursues each and every one of us. In our deepest and darkest moments, he's with us and he dwells close to our hearts. And then as you take it a step further, if that wasn't enough, if that didn't show his love enough to us, if you take it a step further, Jesus became Emmanuel, God with us. In Matthew, it says that he came, when the angel came to Mary, they said, you will name him Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. He left his place, like we said earlier, became flesh, and was God in the flesh with us. He lived a perfect life. To die an undeserving death, to be turned away from his Father when we should be the ones being turned away, so we can be with God in heaven. And then if God didn't show his love enough in that, he left us with the Holy Spirit. In John 16, 5 through 15, I'm not going to read it all, but it says, but now, this was Jesus talking to his disciples, and they didn't get it. But it's Jesus saying, but now I am going away to be with the one who sent me. And not one of you is asking where I am going. Instead, you grieve because of what I've told you. But in fact, it is best for you that I go away, because if I don't, the advocate won't come. If I do go away, and then I send him to you, and when he comes, he will convict this world of sin. Convict. You see that in the verse. Not condemn. Convict. This world of sin and of God's righteousness and of the coming judgment. The world's sin is that it refuses to believe in me. Righteousness is available because I go to the Father and you will see me no more. And so God truly shows his love, because not only is he God always with us, did he send his son to relate to us. A lot of times we'll say, God can't relate to me. He's God. Yet he sent his son to live a perfect life and walk what we walk. Like Micah said, he knew abandonment. He knew loss. He knew Lazarus was going to be raised, yet he wept. He knew all that. And then God left the Holy Spirit with us, because as we walk through this messed up and broken world, we have him to convict us, to walk with us so we're not alone, to let us feel comfort. Y'all know that comfort that is just indescribable, that can only be God? He let us have that when we don't deserve it. Because God is the Father who loves you. And he wants to commune with you. He wants to have a meal with you. Even if you don't have the bread or juice, he just wants to sit down with you. Y'all do not realize how sacred it is when I sit at my table with my family. We used to, as a preacher's family, Dad hated, well, he hates going out to eat anyways, but he hated Sunday afternoon going out to eat. He said, I'm tired. So we used to sit around the table as a family, and there's six of us, and our table's pretty good, but it was kind of squished. And if we had boyfriends, or Michael had a girlfriend, they'd sit with us too, or my friends, and we would sit around the table, and we would have to say our favorite part of the week. Dad hated it, which he really loved it. He just had to act like he hated it. Me and Mary Kate had 15 things we had to dress that was our favorite. Gracie, we had to go around twice before she knew what she was going to say, because Gracie, she's got to think for a while, and then hers would be like softball practice. I don't know. And then my brother would be saying something so off the wall, or probably something we didn't know he did and he probably should have gotten in trouble for, but we were just going to leave it alone because we were having a good family time. And my mom's favorite would always be that we were having lunch together. And I never understood it until I have dinner with my family. Now, Warren, he's struggling with dinner at the table. But I never understood it. And even now, as families get together, the Davises, the Greens, with Nana and Papa, I love sitting around the table and just talking. That's what God wants. Maybe you don't have a family that you do that with, but you have friends. Brianna and I, we went and ate salsa for like 2 hours. And it was exactly what my heart needed that night. And as great as Brianna is, as great as my family is, my kids are, my husband is, they will never compare to how great God is. And how communing with him is the greatest gift I could ever have. Because I have to know that if God took everything away, like he did Job, that he is enough for me, and that I know him so well to know of his sovereignty. So I want you to think about maybe that best friend or your spouse, and you want to talk to them. You want to hang out with them. You want to get to know them. You want them to get to know you. You don't just know about them. You know them because of the time you spent with them. And they want that relational connection that can only happen by both of you taking steps. Brandon pursued me because I kept saying no. Brandon could have pursued me the whole time. But if I didn't take that step towards pursuing him, then the life we have, I would have missed so much. And that's just a tiny thing compared to what all God has done in my life. So today, I don't know what your steps are. And again, I can't force you to take the steps. But God has taken every step, and he's waiting. He's like right there beside you, because he's a gentleman. He's all-knowing. He's all-powerful. He's all-present. Yet he won't force you to take those steps that you need. Maybe you haven't accepted God to be your Father, Jesus to be in your heart. That's the step you need to take today. Maybe you haven't been baptized. Maybe that's the next step you need to take, that outward expression of something eternal and internal going on within you. Maybe you need to rekindle your relationship. Maybe you're like, man, 2023, I was not doing it. But 2024, I will be doing it. And there's no better time to start. Today's the last day. You can spend all day praying and thinking about that. You need to get serious. Maybe you need to join a small group. Because I'm going to tell y'all something. This past year, if you would have seen me in January of 2023, and y'all did, but if you would have seen me inside, that not many people did. If you would have seen how broken and messed up I was. Guys, I didn't even think I should be here. I thought nobody needed me. I thought my family would be fine without me. If I wouldn't have had a small group in the spring, I don't know where I would be. That and people praying for me. So maybe you need to join a small group. This in the end of January, they'll be launched. And if there's not a small group for you, you can talk to Montana and Caleb, and they will get a small group for you, because small groups is where life happens. And you're not meant to do life alone. If that's what the enemy's telling you today, tell them to boot it on out, because that's not true. We're meant to have community and relationships. Maybe you need to become a partner through Impact. Maybe you need a church family. Maybe you need to serve, because serving for the kingdom, there's nothing like it. Let me tell you something. Watching your kids serve for the kingdom, Mo will bag them groceries up for you, and she will let you know if you put the wrong stuff in the bag. In Jesus' name, she is doing it. Maybe that's your next steps. I don't know. But whatever your next steps are, I don't want you to leave this room without acknowledging them. I'm going to ask our prayer team to come up around the room. They're around men, pray with men, women, pray with women. I don't want you to leave this room without making your step. And if you do leave this room without making the step, know that there's still people there ready to talk to you. Maybe you don't know what the step is now, so you just want to pray, but you can talk to somebody. We have tons of leaders in this church. And so, guys, 2024 starts tomorrow. We will prepare for it today. We don't want to wait till tomorrow. There might not even be a tomorrow. We want to start out 2024 knowing God, our Father, who chose to dwell with us even though he didn't have to, who chose to say, you're worth it. And as well as he knows you, because he does, he still wants you to talk to him and say, God, I want all of you. I want to be your best friend. I want you to be my Father. So as I pray, I want you all to just take a moment and ask God, what are my next steps? So guys, let's get ready to pray. Dear God, I thank you so much for being knowable. Lord, even as great, as good, as holy as you are knowable to me, to every person in this room. Lord, I'm so undeserving. We are so undeserving, but Lord, you said, I want to be with you. And I thank you for that, God. I thank you that you're sovereign, even when your plan doesn't make sense. I thank you that you control all things, and then salvation is waiting, Lord, that there is an eternal goodness. Lord, I thank you that you're omnipresent. You're always with us, Lord, that you're omniscient, that you're omnipotent. Lord, everything that you are, that you don't need a break, that you're all-powerful, that you know all things. Lord, I thank you for the big that you are, yet the small that you can become for us. And Lord, I pray for each person in this room. I don't know their next steps, Lord, but I pray that they will not let the wall be up, that they will not say, I'll wait till tomorrow. Lord, that they will say, no, today I'm going to lay the foundation for 2024, whether it's baptism, whether it's being my brother or sister in Christ, Lord, whether it's joining a small group, impact, whatever it is, Lord, maybe it's just improving prayer life. Lord, I pray that we just don't let it stop today. Lord, you are good, and thank you for all that you've done. In Jesus' name.
You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. Peace of our God would guard your hearts and minds as you go. That you'd walk in the truth of who he says you are because of what he's done. And may we grow closer in relationship to you, Lord, because of the invitation you've made. We bless you, God, and we love you. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. Amen. Go have a wonderful rest of your day. You are dismissed.